brought to you by Penguin.
Henrietta Maria, Conspirator, Warrior, Phoenix Queen, by Leander DeLisle, read by Daphne Coomer. Cherchez la femme. Alexandre Dumas. Preface. Here are some of the things I have often read and heard said about Henrietta Maria. She was frivolous, extravagant, had bad teeth and skinny arms. She was an adulteress who secretly married Henry Jermyn. She was implacably Catholic. She made King Charles Catholic and caused the Civil War. Later, she proved to be an unloving mother to her son, Henry, Duke of Gloucester, whom she tried to make Catholic because she was a bigot. And finally, at the Restoration, she was an irrelevance, nothing more than a shriveled and miserable old lady. She was, in short, the classic Witch Eve. Frivolous, so morally weak, Henrietta Maria had been corrupted by the papal Antichrist, as Eve was by Satan. Bearing the disfigurement of sin, glimpsed in her bad teeth, she spent extravagantly on clothes and perfumes to project a false beauty which she used to seduce Charles into evil, and so brought sorrow and death to the demi-paradise of England. We not only accept parliamentary propaganda from the past, for example, that Henrietta Maria wore the breeches in her marriage, we have promoted new myths to support it. Charles is often described entirely inaccurately as a physical weakling and a fop. Nor can she be associated with royalist victory at the Restoration. This is supported, but only by selective quotation. So we have, for instance, the diarist Samuel Pepys describing Henrietta Maria when he first saw her, still grieving over the death of her son Henry, dressed in black, looking very ordinary, and not his later descriptions of her court as more merry than that of the merry monarch, Charles II. The familiar tropes connected to Eve predate the Reformation and are still used against women of all kinds. But our attitude to Henrietta Maria is also clearly linked to our confessional history. The term popish, much bandied around in the 17th century, referred to a form of political and spiritual tyranny which hotter Protestants associated with the Catholic Church, but which was deployed quite broadly, often against anti-Puritans. The Catholic Association alone remains embedded in our national psyche. The belief that Protestantism is responsible for the work ethic that built the empire and the emergence of democracy are amongst our most treasured national myths. The converse of this is that Henrietta Maria, the popish Catholic, must be responsible for Charles's authoritarianism. We have bought into the deep state conspiracy theories of the 17th century. We have also forgotten the complexity and contradictions of the past. Many of those who fought hardest for liberty against Charles denied it to the slaves they shipped from Africa to the Americas and to the Catholic Irish they cleansed from their lands. There was no monopoly on virtue or sin. Henrietta Maria's story would not have interested me, however, had it only allowed me to say what she was not. Not frivolous. Not a fanatic. Not weak. Not responsible for the Civil War. Not an unloving mother. Though I am pleased to do so. The interest is rather in revealing the story of who she was and what drove her. From popish brat to Phoenix Queen, I hope her character will emerge in all its light and shade. Capable of great kindness, especially to lowly servants, yet also brutally frank, not least with her husband. She was a warrior and a wit, had an acute sense of the ridiculous, but also a spiritual inner life that gave her gravitas. She struggled with the admonition to obey her husband and her son as heads of their households and as kings. Yet both loved her. And if she could not win their battles for them, no one could have fought harder to do so. My biography of Charles I, White King, attempted to look at Charles's reign and the Civil War from his point of view. It asked what was the divine right of kings, and why did he believe in it?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?